Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode here at Java with Jen. I have a return guest with me who has a delicious, beautiful accent, which I know I talked about last time, but it just makes it so much fun to listen to her. But she is an expert in getting your brain unstuck and helping people get past mental barriers and grow in their mental health. And she just helps enhance people's lives with her knowledge in this area. And she's very well educated and well versed. Mamika is a leading faith-based Christian mindset author and speaker known as the personal trainer for your mind. She empowers ambitious Christians to rewire their brain by combining neuroscience, which I love, positive psychology, and a faith-based approach. So she's totally my tribe here. Mamika is going to teach us how to unstick our minds and develop emotional resilience and unlock high performance by becoming the boss of your brain. She loves to empower purpose-driven individuals to transform their lives by shifting their mindset habits and patterns as they pursue growth to achieve extraordinary results. Now, if you have known the Lord or walked with the Lord very long, you have come to learn the connection between thriving in your Christianity and your mental health. There is a direct connection because everything comes from your mind. And in Romans 8, it talks about how a spirit-led man is firstly mindful of the things of the spirit. And so getting understanding around how to, which I love the phrase that she used, being the boss of your brain. I love that because a lot of times our thoughts will boss us around and our feelings will boss us around, and we don't realize it till we end up in a ditch and we're like, what happened? And so what she's bringing to the table is super valuable. Today, we're going to dive into confidence and how to know if you struggle with the lack of confidence and maybe four symptoms of that. There's a variety of them, but we're going to touch on four of them and then how she helps her patients or her clients work past to identify the problem, to get to the root of it, and how to take action to get unstuck from that. So, with that as an introduction, Mamika, thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. This is always fun. I love these conversations, and I know we'll have a super fun conversation that, if anyone is interested in it, because I'm like your audience. I love to-dos. Like, tell me what to do. Give me the juicy stuff so I can really put it into action.
Yes, for sure. And I love that. There's nothing worse than listening to an amazing talk and walking away feeling like there was no tools put in your hands. If it's a lot of theory but no action, it's so frustrating. So I love that you're a make it happen kind of person. So, okay, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Where are you from? What's your family life look like? Where do you live right now? And then we'll dive into this.
Sure. Well, my name is pronounced Mamika Cooney, and I'm originally from South Africa. I was born and raised there, but I have been living here in Charlotte, North Carolina since 2006. So I'm pretty much part of the furniture. I'm still married to my childhood sweetheart 28 years later, and we have three kids. In actual fact, my eldest is 25, who's getting married next month. And I have a 22-year-old and a 13 that's going on 30. So it's
Oh,
been super fun.
that's amazing. Okay, so you guys can't see Mamika's face. Well, actually, I will put her on the graphic, but I don't know how it's possible you have a 25-year-old. You look like you're 29. So.
Oh, thank you, darling. I'll take that. Lots of good genes, and I do not do the Botox, but I definitely do prayer, and focusing on staying young and being positive helps as well.
That's true. That's true. It totally does. Okay, so let's dive right into this topic. We're putting this up in February, right after Valentine's Day. And I know that the month of love can actually surface some of these feelings that we're going to talk about today, but the overgirding concept that we want to tackle is confidence. And whether people are single or married or female or male, old or young, we all deal with insecurity and a lack of confidence at some time, at some point in our lives, and sometimes in an ongoing way that we constantly have to revisit and get to the bottom of. And so, how would you define confidence? Why is this a topic that you love?
I mean, I kind of, it's almost like the word confidence can sometimes be a cliche. Like, I feel so confident. And we just immediately insert the image of some model walking down the ramp, like, oh, I totally got this. Like, we're not necessarily talking about that. For me, confidence or a lack of confidence can show up in so many shapes or forms in our life, especially for us women, because we tend to overthink things. But there's a thing I like to say is that confidence isn't a feeling we seek. A confidence comes from doing the thing. So in other words, for example, motivating yourself to go exercise, you're like, well, I want to feel confident before I do the thing. But here's the caveat. You actually have to do the thing to feel confident. Confidence flows from the action we take. But sometimes what happens is the lack of confidence can also be a big fat restriction. It feels like we're stuck behind the fences and we want to get to, you know, to be let out loose. But that lack of confidence, which is often fear-based thinking. And funnily enough, it's actually a lot of it is based in our mind and how we were either experienced, like all of us, if we are at adult age, have experienced some kind of trauma in life or some, you know, experiences that have challenged us. That's just a human condition. But sometimes what happens is it gets stuck in our brain that you're not good enough, or we're not young enough, we're not old enough, we're not experienced enough, we're not, you know, whatever enough, insert your own. And we allow that to dictate us. And that becomes a bossy little two-year-old that starts having these little hissy fits upstairs. And she starts to scream a fit and have a hissy fit when either things don't go her way, or she feels scared, or she feels challenged, and she wants to sit in the corner and pout. But here's the good news, you know, by renewing our mind, as the Bible says, putting these tools into place, we can walk through that process of uncovering what is keeping us in a lack of confidence so we can flip the script and eventually create confidence as a tool and more of a reward for having done the things we need to do. So that's why I think this is a huge topic, but I'm excited for us to dive into some detailed tips on this.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we're going to talk about some of the symptoms of, like, how do I know, which most people, I think, feel like they're very aware if they don't have a lot of confidence. But sometimes we don't realize certain behaviors that we dip into are actually just the manifestation of a lack of confidence. Now, before we dive into that, what do you think about this? I feel like a lot of times a lack of confidence is aggravated by comparison. And I know comparison, I'd come across some neuroscience information that comparison is actually part of our human survival instinct. Because, you know, back in the day, you know, when they're chasing animals to survive, you know, to find their meal for the night or whatever, comparison was almost like it's a way of them measuring, like, could I outlive that person? Do I have what it takes to survive, or am I the weakest link? You know? And so it was like a very fundamental survival instinct. And so our brains still do it. And I know a lot of time we give ourselves grief for comparing to other people. And there are ways definitely to rewire that. But would you say that's one of the number one ways that a lack of confidence comes in, or have you seen it something else?
Well, I mean, the lack of confidence can show up in so many different ways. You can have someone who's super successful, but who's also lacks confidence. They can be struggling with, you know, like imposter syndrome, where they never feel like they're enough. I mean, I'll be the first one to admit that's one of my issues I had, is, you know, is a high performing perfectionist, people pleasing, constantly on the hustle bus, never feeling good enough, that I kept going and kept thinking I had to do more and more and more and push and push and push, until eventually my whole, my body and soul collapsed. And I was like, hey, Houston, we have a problem. But, you know, and sometimes we don't know that that's what's driving us. And it's only once we start to look, I always like to use this analogy of, you know, understanding how you think in your mind, like a journey in the car. We've all heard that life's a journey, enjoy the ride, right? And, but we often don't think about the vehicle we're in, which is, you know, our body, but our, under the hood is the engine, which is our mind. And that is drives everything. So if we have a mess and the wirings are wrong and the head gasket's about to blow, we're not going to get to our destination, and it's going to constantly sabotage us to do the things we need to do. Maybe missed opportunities, missed income opportunities, relationship opportunities, maybe, you know, however that shows up. And we allow that, that messaging to constantly tell us, you're not good enough, you shouldn't try it for that job, or you're not good enough, as if he would even give you a second look, you know, or why would you even apply for that opportunity? And we allow that little boss to tell us what to do, and we don't realize where it's coming from. And I think part of confidence, as I said, you know, we often mix it up with how we feel. Like, I feel confident because I'm dressed nicely. Yeah, that's great. But it's also, there's a confidence mindset, that knowing, and this is also where the God's word says, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's really about confidence.
Yeah.
Believing and having the faith that God will show up when he says he'll show up, and he'll provide and strengthen our weaknesses where we lack.
Yeah.
Having that confidence and knowing, really, where I feel confidence and faith are, go to hand in hand. So oftentimes I will say, okay, if I'm not feeling confident, am I A, mistrusting myself, or am I mistrusting God? Do I have a lack of faith that he's going to actually do the thing that he says he's going to do? So there's a lot of layers to that, but just the first step I'd say is being aware that maybe there is a problem. Maybe I have these patterns of behavior that are showing up again and again, where I don't hit publish. I don't show up for the event. I don't put myself on video because I'm scared what people are going to think, or I don't start the business or, you know, pursue whatever because that confidence is lacking. So there's a lot of layers we can go into on that.
Okay, so let's dive into that. Some four different ways which we identified, which, like you said, there's a lot of different ways that a lack of confidence can show up in our life, but four of really common ones. You mentioned that one of the first ones is what you just demonstrated was stopping us from taking risks. If there's a lack of confidence, we oftentimes will lean back rather than lean into opportunities. So why don't you dive into that a little bit?
Yeah. So a lack of confidence can show up as a risk aversion. And this means that, you know, sometimes it's often based in fear, and often it's also comes back from our childhood. Like, I didn't realize this was a thing until I started going down this journey with the Lord and Him revealing these old wounds and hurts and experiences and, you know, things that we go through as a child get wired into our brain and we think that's truth. But there's our truth, there's the other person's truth or the other side of the story, and then there's the real truth.
Yeah.
And we have to decide whose truth we're going to believe. And that's why it's so important to sort of really lean into what God is saying and for Him to show you, like, what is that area that's causing this lack of confidence? Why do I keep avoiding the risk of trying this or doing something new or, you know, because it's a fear of the unknown. And if we have that fear, we have to understand why we have that fear. And I always say the basic thing to ask yourself is why. When you don't know, just ask, why do I think this? Why do I feel this? Why do I do this? Why do I keep responding? Like, I know all of us must have one person in our family or in our life that knows how to press our buttons. And they say something like, ah. You want to just react. And you're like, why do you keep making me do that?
Yeah.
And again, it's just, you know, understanding that maybe me holding myself back and keeping myself small has got to do with things that I have believed, false limiting beliefs or false lies the enemy is, you know, sown into my psyche that I've never questioned.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, fear is also one of the big things as well as, you know, you can have a fear of success, like, oh, I don't want to put myself out there. What if people start criticizing me because I'm, you know, oh my gosh, like I'm not the, I don't, especially in Christian circles, we have this thing about, oh, if you put yourself out there, maybe you're not humble, which is totally false humility.
Yeah.
But also the fear of failure is another big one. Because, you know, if we're scared to fail before we even start, we don't start.
Yeah.
And what is failure? And if we think about, you know, God will always work things out for good. I would like to flip it and say fear is not, you know, you don't have mistakes. You just have experiments. You know, if Einstein gave up the first time or, you know, any kind of invention or inventor, if they stopped the first time they had failure, we wouldn't have the inventions we have today. But we need to allow ourselves to say, okay, I've been through this hard thing, but what am I learning? Having a growth mindset and saying, I might be fearful of this, even if I fail. So what? What do you do? Pick yourself up and you go again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Okay. So the lack of confidence will prevent us from taking risks. And I have seen that with, like, especially people that come to me interested in starting a podcast or whatever. One of the first things they always say is, well, I don't know why anyone would listen to me, or, you know, and they can, if they allow themselves to lean into all those self-doubts, they never take the risk. They never do it. And I finally, last year or this last 2023, when I was looking over the year and everything that I did accomplish over the year, A, it was super encouraging, but B, I realized every single thing I did last year, I did scared. Like, I wasn't confident about any of it. I just was like, well, we'll just see how and I did kind of approach it like an experiment, like, okay, we'll see how this goes. We'll see if this pans out. And I saw the need that it was meeting, and I was more driven by the need I was meeting than by my confidence to make it awesome, you know? And I think that did help me take that risk, because I wasn't focused on myself. I was focused on the people I was serving. And so diving into one that you touched on just now, fear of failure. I do remember when I was a kid, I never tried out for sports. This is so dumb. This is how I realized fear of failure was a part of my life. I never tried out for sports because I liked basketball, and I imagined myself getting the ball in the last 3 seconds of the game and trying to make the shot if we're tied, you know, double nothing. and I try to make the shot and I miss it and I let the whole team down, that picture played in my head. And that's the number one reason why I never went out for sports. How dumb is that? But it's literally 100% purely a fear of failure. And so what would you say to that aspect as well? Like, where does fear of failure come from? Like, is it from overbearing parents? Is it just we make it up in our heads half the time? What do you see with that?
Well, if we think about it, is, you know, the whole concept of fear is the fear of the unknown, of something bad happening, or maybe the worst case scenario. And just like your example, a lot of us allow ourselves to get on the drama train. And once she's at the station, she can go all sorts of, like, we create this drama and this movie soundtrack in our head, and oh my gosh, it's going to be terrible, like the worst case scenario. But really, the fear is just expectation of something bad happening, but there's no proof of it. So what I always like to say, you know, when I'm helping clients through this process is what are you afraid of? What's the worst thing that could happen? Let's kind of go there. And then, because that's part of fear is avoidance, right? I don't want to feel that feeling of feeling embarrassed, ashamed, failure. Like, okay, let's just sit there for a moment. Let's not just try to, like, just ignore it, placate it, or shove it under the carpet. Let's just sit there for a moment and just say, well, what would that fear of failure feel like? And then you start to unravel it and go, well, maybe I don't want to disappoint my parents, or maybe I've made promises that I feel like I can't keep, or, like, let's really get to the root of what that is holding you back. And I went through this process, and I didn't, you know, the Holy Spirit took me through this process when I was going through a very hard time. Didn't realize it was actually proven in neuroscience, and a lot of, you know, counseling and therapy goes to that, is allowing yourself to feel the feelings. Because we live in a society where we can pop a pill, we can, you know, get ourselves saturated in binge watching and just forget about the world because we want to avoid.
Yeah.
But the worst thing we can do is avoid. We actually have to go through it, because emotions are energy in motion. That, you know, we feel butterflies, we feel that sense of, like, tightness in our chest. Yeah. But because we stay so much in the avoidance, we never actually do the thing. Because, you know, it's like when you rode a bicycle as a kid, you were so scared of falling off that when you did it, you're like, oh, this isn't so bad. And even if you did fall over, you just got up again. So I really think that is part of, and unfortunately, the more older we get as adults, we get more risk averse, because our brain has seen us create these patterns from, oh, well, hang on, when you did that, that's the result we got. So don't do that. Yeah. So back to our original, when we were running around and trying to get away from hungry lions, you're like, don't go down there, or don't eat that berry. That berry will kill you. So, you know, X. But we haven't learned the skills, because this is actually a skill set. We haven't learned the mind management skills to understand what we're thinking and feeling, and to allow ourselves the process of going through something to come out on the other side. Because, you know, the Lord always promises to never leave us or forsake us. So he's going to be there every step of the way.
Yeah.
We just have to be willing to take that step.
That's so true. That's so good. And I found that as I looked back over this year and I realized I had done everything afraid, I look at myself now and I'm like, I realize it takes a lot less overcoming energy for me to decide to do something now, because I look back and I'm like, well, I did all that scared and it worked out just fine. And so it's almost like it trained my brain, like, scary isn't as scary as you think it will be, or you're gonna figure it out anyways. You know, everything's figure outable, like Marie Forleo says, you know. And so I feel like taking those risks, one, and then not letting fear of failure stay in your brain, but, like you're saying, move through it and, like, navigate through it. Like, okay, let's say worst case happens, what do I do then? Even just having a plan for that can kind of dismember the power of that fear of failure, because now you're like, well, at least I have a plan for if that does happen.
Exactly. And you've thought it through, right? And you've allowed yourself. That's why they say, like, even when we lose someone and we go through grief, they're the stages of grief that you can't avoid them. You just have to allow yourself to go through that. So, like, and I come from, I'm a classically trained ballet dancer, and I've actually started to learn figure skating as an adult. And believe me, I had to unlearn a whole lot of old bad habits that were not serving me. But what I realized, you know, for me, life is an analogy. It's like we feel like we're skating on thin ice. And sometimes it's risky, and sometimes it feels we're unbalanced, and we know if we fall, it's going to hurt. So it's not if, but when. So if I've already decided that I know that even if I fall and hurt myself, I'm just going to get up and do it again, because I'm not going to allow that fear of the unknown, the fear of the pain, and just say, okay, what will it feel like? Yeah, it would hurt. And then. What are we going to do next? Are we going to let that stop us from living the life of fullness that God promises us? And so I'm always about helping people challenge those thoughts they have in their mind that is this the truth? Is this God's truth? Is this who God says I am? And is this what God's made me for? Because I know everyone listening has so much more in them, and they are so much more able and capable and have the opportunities to do. We just have to be willing to take that first step.
Yeah, that's so good. And I want to call out even for those who are listening that the nature of confronting fear and choosing to move into the space that you know it's going to be okay, essentially, you're not doing something dumb, you're not doing something harmful, you're not, you know, being stupid, you know what I mean? But just moving past that fear of failure, what you're actually choosing to do is prioritize living by faith. Like, faith and fear are in contrast to each other. And so the beauty of making the choice to move past fear is that you're actually building in your character the nature of moving into faith. And like the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And even pointing back to the parable of the talents where, you know, the master put the talents in the servant's hands, and the one that he called a wicked servant was the one who was afraid, and he went and buried what he had in his hands. But the ones that took the risk and multiplied what they had, they were the good and faithful servants. And so even there, we see a reiteration of like the Lord asks of us to be willing to take risk and step past fear and move into that space of faith. And it's scary at first simply because of how our brains are wired, but it doesn't stay scary. And I just wanted to call that out. Okay, so the first one is a lack of confidence can stop us from taking risks. Second is it can produce a fear of failure in our life. A third one is it can create broken relationships when we're operating out of a lack of confidence. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah. So when we have a lack of confidence in a relationship setting, how that shows up is that we don't voice our opinion. We just keep quiet, or maybe we, you know, there's something we want to say, but we don't say it. And then we get frustrated with ourselves. And then we're like, well, if I don't really want to show up and share my heart, because what if I get criticized? Like, we see this a lot in the church setting as well. Like, I've had this conversation several times recently, actually, with a lot of women who are in ministry. And, you know, we've had that old concept of, you know, men are in ministry, women need to shut up and sit down. And we unfortunately have heard that message a little too often.
Yeah.
So what happens is we make ourselves small. We don't want to reach out and, you know, create relationships with people and be bold enough to say, hey, this is how I can help. Like, I hear you, I see you, let's create a connection, right? Even like showing up I recently was at a women's networking group, and it's like, it's scary to put yourself out there, because I'm like, I don't really feel confident today. My hair is a bit of a mess, and oh my gosh, you know, this isn't feeling great. But you always feel better after you've made that connection. Like I always say to myself in the car, I know you don't feel like it, but you will feel great on the ride home, because you would have made new friends, new connections, and everybody's in the same boat.
Yeah.
Everybody is new. Everybody is feeling shy. It feels like the schoolyard all over again, right? Even when we're adults. That, why would we not show up and, you know, reach out our hand and say, hi, my name's Mika. What's your name? Let's get friendly, right? Yeah. And especially now in this digital age, everything, we're all behind screens and, you know, in our little four corners of the world, it's easy just to hide and sort of be in observation mode. But maybe there's an adventure out there. Maybe there's somebody else that you're meant to connect with. Because here's the thing, you know, even in Jesus's ministry, he needed to work through people.
Yeah.
He had his disciples who worked alongside him, but he needed to be in relationship with them to create that trust. Mm-hmm. So the same thing goes with our relationship with the Lord. If there is a mistrust, or we aren't confident in ourselves, maybe that's showing us the fear that's there. Mm-hmm. But also relying on relationships also means a little bit of vulnerability. Like, being vulnerable is scary.
Yeah.
Like saying, hey, this is me, and, you know, what are they going to think and say and feel? And I don't know. The last time I checked, I can't control how you think and what you say and how you feel, but I can only control that for me.
Yeah.
So I think by us allowing ourselves to recognize that, are we holding ourselves back in making those connections, making those relationships, because of what? What is the thing? And oftentimes it always comes back to the confidence just to show up and to reach out.
Yeah, it's so true. And I feel like a lot of times whenever I've been in relationships with people that don't have a lot of confidence, or I've been operating with a lack of confidence, it can produce unnecessary strife, because then you come from a place of like insecurity, maybe jealousy, assuming things about the other person that maybe aren't true or just aren't healthy to assume. It can cause a breakdown in communication, which causes a breakdown in the relationship. And there's so many things that a lack of confidence can break down in the relationship, which also speaks to, again, the Lord has built us, and relationships are meant to be between two people who are healthy, who are whole, who are confident in who they are in the Lord, as far as they know that they're accepted, they know that they're a gift in the world, and that they show up like that. They don't show up like they're a problem. They don't show up like they're an inconvenience. They don't show up like they don't know what they're talking about. And there's a difference between arrogance and confidence. We don't show up like we're the only one who knows what we're talking about. We don't show up like we're the most important person in the room, but we show up like I am important and you're important. I am a gift in this relationship and you are a gift in this relationship, and that confidence nurtures a healthier relationship. And so that's so good. Okay. So it stops us from taking risk, lack of confidence. It causes us to walk in a fear of failure. It can cause brokenness in our relationships because we don't show up in the way that we can and should to bring health to the relationship. And then another thing we wanted to touch on is that a lack of confidence can affect how we believe about ourselves, that I'm not good enough. It can bring in imposter syndrome, which I see a lot in helping people develop podcasts and get their voice into the world. Imposter syndrome always shows up straight out the gate. And so speak to that one, how confidence shows up in that way.
Yeah, so how confidence and the imposter syndrome come together is that we often think that we have to be feeling confident in order to take the step, but confidence isn't a feeling, it's the action, right? And when we are experiencing those thoughts and feelings of being an imposter, it's oftentimes is because we are either comparing ourselves to some ideal of perfectionism. And oftentimes, if you look back, it comes back from even our schooling, because the whole school system is built on, basically competing against other kids and who's got the best grades and who's, class rank. And we feel like we always have to jump through hoops. It's another assignment, it's another homework, it's another grade system, it's another semester, another, keep going and going and going. And oftentimes is, the whole, even in the business world, I've seen this, the whole, fake it till you make it. Because even the most, who we think are the most confident, self-assured, high achievers are actually not. We're all just little kids on the playground asking for a friend to recognize them and for them to be seen and accepted and loved and heard. At the end of the day, we always feel like we are never enough because we are in pursuit of going from what the Bible says, glory to glory. But what we have to understand is that if we allow that imposter syndrome to always, and the enemy's lies of you're not good enough, you're not educated enough, you're not experienced enough, you're not old enough, you're not young enough, you're not whatever enough. And we feel like we're almost living a life of being a fraud. We have to ask ourselves why again. Because if we are feeling like we are either living somebody else's life, or what if they find out, oh my gosh, oh, shock and horror, if I'm not perfect, what will they think? Oh, well, what's the worst that could happen? They can realize I'm human. And so, well, hello, welcome to the party. Aren't we all there? And I think, it's just understanding what those things are. And that's part of what I love to share and train and teach people, is that awareness of what is holding you back, what is causing you to feel lack of confidence. It has a lot of things that show up. So we have the fruit, which is the things like the fear of failure, the imposter syndrome, where we feel like we're just faking it and not really being true. But if we can understand and go right back to basics and ask ourselves why we think and feel this, and ask the Holy Spirit, like, show me the areas of my mind and my heart that are hidden, the closet spaces that have been stuffed away. And this is a great invitation for him to do some work. And yes, it will be painful. Yes, it will be tears. It's not if, but when. But I can tell you, like, it is so liberating and such a life of freedom when you allow yourself to say, you know what? I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to step in confidence. I want to be able to have the faith that I know that God's going to be with me every step of the way, even if I feel like I don't have all the goods. Just taking the step of faith and, walking hand in hand with the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to show you, uniquely the areas he'll highlight, he'll show you movies in your mind. These are the areas we need to work with. I think that is really the key to building confidence, and, you know, especially in a Christian setting, and just allowing the Lord to show you how much of value you are.
Yeah.
So you understand who you are and whose you are is really going to be leading a life of confidence.
Yeah, that's so good. And I want to call out, you talked to me earlier, and I feel like you touched on it already here in description, that the way that you help people move out of this is that there's kind of like a three-step process, right? Is that you identify the problem, like, okay, right now I'm feeling like an imposter. I'm feeling like a fraud. And being able to identify the problem, I feel like cannot be done apart from us getting alone with ourselves, even if it's just for a few seconds, even in the moment, being able to kind of step inward and go, okay, what's going on below the surface, and being able to become self-aware of like, okay, I'm feeling this way right now. And being able to ask yourself, where is this coming from? I told my husband the other day, I was like, you know, babe, I think I do that process of where's this behavior coming from 30 times a day, you know, because pretty much anytime I have a blip on the radar in my emotions, I've trained myself to stop and go, wait, where did that come from? Am I hormonal right now? Am I hungry right now? Am I carrying a wound in my soul that I need to deal with? You know? And so identifying the problem is the first one. But then you said you talked to them about how to get to the root of that. And I love that you pointed out that Holy Spirit has to be a part of that journey, because he does. There is a passage where in the Bible where it says that who knows the heart of a man except for the spirit of that man? Just like who knows the heart of God except for the spirit of God? And your spirit is the part of you that communicates with the spirit of God. And so in my personal journey, a key to my self-awareness, my emotional self-awareness, is sometimes I won't know what's going on below the surface until I say, Holy Spirit, I need you to pull the veil back and help me understand, where is this coming from? And so getting down to the root, which oftentimes is a lie that we're believing about ourselves, almost always. If there's a button, it's because there's a lie. And then your next step is what action needs to be taken to move past the lie or the root issue. And so do you want to expand on any of that?
Yeah. So the three phase, just to recap, you know, in order to get yourself unstuck and moving forward, is, you know, step one is the awareness, is knowing what the problem is, because you can't fix a problem you're not aware of.
Right.
And this is oftentimes, you know, God is a gentleman and he'll invite us very gently to address issues. But, you know, we can live in denial. Like that was me for many years. I just didn't want to deal with the thing. I thought I'd just keep shoving more junk in my trunk, hoping I'd go somewhere. But, you know, having that awareness is super key. And then once you know what the problem is, identifying what those roots are, include things, time in prayer. I love to always encourage people to journal, like even if you're not a writer, just kind of like blah on the page, like just write out, even if you sound like a petulant child, oh my gosh, dear diary, you will not believe what happened today. And we just allow ourselves to go there, just to expose ourselves in a way. And some people are vocalists. Some people prefer to speak it out. So if you have a trusted friend, you know, I need to chat to you. I just want to vent right now. And this is what's frustrating me. Then when you have it out, you can then start to be more objective and say, okay, you know what? Maybe I was a little emotional. Maybe there's a trigger there. There's a bit of rejection going on there because of what Susie Q did and I wasn't invited to the party. And that's triggered me again.
Yeah.
And once we know what that root is, then we can say, okay, you know, and of course you can't do this without the Holy Spirit. Like Holy Spirit will show you, like I'm a very visual person and he'll show me like a picture of something, either a past hurt or something I said or something that is causing an issue. And then what we do is, you know, spending time with the Lord and say, okay, what do I need to do? And oftentimes it's forgiveness is a great place to start as a solution.
Yeah.
Do we need to forgive ourselves? Do we need to forgive the other person? Do we need to forgive God? Like I was angry with God for lots of times, from especially after I experienced the loss of a family member who was very strong in her faith. And you're like, you know, it starts to question your faith and your sanity.
Yeah.
But if we allow ourselves to just go through the process and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I know this isn't exactly, it doesn't feel good. But I know I will feel great once we've got rid of this root, this thorn that keeps holding me back. It's like a repeat. Like I'm a kid of the 80s, you know, there's the whole repeating on the turntables and, you know, when you just keep it having that blip. So I think, you know, having that approach and just saying this is something that can be done. And that's the good news, is that we can renew our minds. We can overcome the things if we have the skill. And you alluded to this several times where you said you've learned the skill to catch yourself. And that is really what's key in terms of renewing your mind. Like how do we make it new? If we've learned or we've started to believe a lie, how do we then reverse engineer that and reprogram ourselves to not respond in the same way? Is through repetition. and reinforcement, which is why your Bible reading in the morning, or you know, spending time with the Lord isn't a chore. It's actually a needed necessity in order for you to stay connected to the vine, because without that nutrients and being fed, we go back to our old habits of believing the negativity, because our brains as humans are just negatively biased.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have to put a little bit more effort to start to believe the things that it's true. So, which is, I always encourage people to go through the scriptures, like some of my favorite, there's lots of Song of Songs and Solomon's, where, you know, let God speak and sing over you and tell you how much he loves you. And I know sometimes you're like, oh, this is so lame. But sometimes we need to hear that several times in order to believe that we are loved, and we can be confident in the fact that God loves us regardless. Mm. He's not going to love you more or less than he does right now.
Yeah.
There's nothing you have to do or say to perform to be better or less than you are now, but it's a journey. And if we just allow ourselves to, you know, be open to that, be humble enough to say, okay, God, forgive me, forgive you, forgive others. Where do I need to get rid of this? And I always say, just give it to Jesus. He's great, great in resetting and erasing things that, you know, that don't work for us.
That's so good. And I love that you called out the power of journaling, or, you know, speaking into a note or venting to a friend or whatever, but especially journaling, because even Caroline Leaf, which half the time when I'm talking to you, I feel like I'm talking to Caroline Leaf because y'all have the same accent.
Yeah, South African too.
I know. But she talks about how there's something that happens in your brain that when you write it down on paper and you get it in front of your face, you can see the things you're walking in more objectively, like you said, objectively, and it allows you, it gives you the ability to break up with that cycle more easily, because you're looking at it objectively, almost as if you're looking at someone else's life, and it's the emotional attachment is less when you're looking at it on a journal, and you can say, oh, well, maybe I don't want to hang on to that anymore. And so like a game changer for me was when I recognized that I'm like, oh, that's coming from a broken space. Either I overreacted, or, you know, why is this a nagging pain in my heart, you know, or whatever. I love the journaling and the processing with the Lord, because once I'm able to get an eye on what lie I'm believing, then all I have to do is say, Lord, what's the truth? Like, what is, and he's so quick and he's so faithful to either bring me to a scripture that will bring me that truth, or maybe he'll speak right to my heart what the truth is, or maybe he'll bring confirming voices over the next series of days, or confirming circumstances that will reiterate to me what the truth is. And I find, now that I'm saying this out loud, I realize the Lord is so faithful to reiterate that truth. And I think he does that because, like Dr. Henry Cloud was saying on a video last night, that for one negative thought, it does require seven positive ones for your brain to even metabolize that negative thought. So like, you know, we used to always say that, like, you know, we've heard that, like, oh, it needs seven good thoughts to undo a negative thought. That's actually how the brain is wired, because those negative thoughts essentially are the fight or flight survival thoughts. And so positivity has to really be in abundance for our brain to be willing to take the risk to step outside of what feels safer. And so the Lord is so kind to oftentimes reiterate those truths to us, because he's trying to help our brains metabolize out that bad negative thinking. And so anyways, I just love that you called that out, because again, we see the importance of hearing God's voice and leaning into the Holy Spirit. And again, I just want, for those who are listening, I just want you to understand, like, hearing God's voice is simple. Like Mamika said, sometimes he'll show her a picture or bring a thought. It's oftentimes just as easy to miss those moments as it is to catch those moments, because they're gentle, they're subtle, and God's not rude or harsh, you know? So he'll make it plain, but we have to be looking for it, you know? And so Mamika, what is your favorite way to reset a wrong belief? Do you have like a special unique little thing that you do that works for you that's unique?
I wouldn't say it's unique, but I think it's very useful. It's really just, like, as we've said earlier, is, you know, writing it down and then questioning and asking myself why. Mm. Like, why am I feeling this way? Why am I, it's like, I call it hitting the pause button. Like, when I feel like the drama train is about to leave the station, I'm like, okay, honey, hold on a second. You know, your body will show you, our bodies will show up what's going on in our mind and our heart as a manifestation. But if we can catch it before we start to feel nervous or feel angry or feel afraid, We can start to see the patterns forming, and we can address them and question them before they are even allowed to grow. So for me, yeah. I've just also got into a habit of, what am I thinking? You know, and it's also like, in we talk about, you know, just taking stock and looking inwards and saying, you know, let me just take, I call it taking the temperature. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? And why am I thinking this? Why am I reacting? It is because, you know, wisdom is, and having that awareness is key. It's part of knowing. Yeah. Shining the light on the dark places, and then allowing yourself. And I always say, as Christians, we're awesome. We've got like the superhero extra special thing called the Holy Spirit. It's like having a little earpiece in where it's like we're these spies on a mission, and he's telling us all the insider information to help us make the right choices. So I think, you know, I'm just really grateful that we can align this process, and it doesn't have to be all about our own energy and our own resources, because that's why I have a problem with the whole concept of self-help. Because there's limits to self. But when we align and partner with the Holy Spirit, that's when we get that empowerment. That's where we get the breakthrough, because we do it through him, not through our efforts. And that's the best news.
I love that. That's so good. Okay. So in overview, in summary, if you find yourself dealing with the lack of confidence, let's say we've covered some of these things and you felt your heart go, yep, that's me. Oop, I feel that one. Oop, that's hits close to home. I would encourage you, whether it was, you know, you find yourself not being willing to take risks, or maybe you have a real fear of failure that you've recognized in your life, or maybe you do have some really broken relationships, and you can say, is that because I'm not showing up with confidence? And, you know, broken relationships can be for a variety of reasons, but as far as you're able to control in this situation, am I showing up with a lack of confidence? Am I jealous? Is this why this relationship is broken? Am I not speaking from my heart? Am I not communicating my needs, et cetera? Or maybe you deal with imposter syndrome, and there could be any variety of things. Like if you just find yourself feeling smaller than you're meant to show up in life, possibly you're dealing with a lack of confidence. And if that's the case, as Mamika has recommended, that we encourage you to step aside, maybe take some time to journal and just write down and say, okay, where do I see this lack of confidence showing up in my life? And then maybe write out a number of situations where you feel like I've got a lack of confidence, and see if there's a common denominator between these. Is it a fear of failure across the board? Is it a fear of taking risks? Is it an imposter syndrome? Whatever. Identify that common denominator and then dig into that and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Say, Lord, no one knows my heart except my spirit. And so I need my spirit to speak to me and tell me what's happening in my heart and my mind. Help me recognize what is the lie that I'm believing. And you show me what is the truth that combats that. And then the next step that Mamika recommends is, what is the action that I need to now do to really put that truth into, to really cause it to take root in my heart? Because you can say something, but it's when you take action on something that it really begins to make sense in your brain and in your body and in your life. And so that's so good. I would encourage you guys to go do that as just an exercise and see how your confidence grows. You're going to feel, I get so excited when I recognize lies that I've been believing and I can set them right, because it feels like someone took a lid off of me. It feels like I can breathe deeper and laugh louder. You know, I feel freer when that happens. And so, Mamika, if anybody wants to connect with you after hearing all of this and they're like, oh, I just want to work with someone who can walk me through this, how can they connect with you?
Yeah, well, the best place to find me is on my website at mamikacooney.com. And I'll spell that for our audio listeners. It's mimikacooney.com. I have a bunch of resources. I have a free training. I have ebooks, as well as you can find me on all published Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I have a mindset series of books, which also would help you. You know, one's called Mindset Makeover. Another one is the Unstick Your Mind. And I have a bunch of resources. So definitely connect with me. And I'm on social at Mamika Cooney on pretty much all platforms. But the best place I like hanging out is Instagram. Mm-hmm. As I said, so go ahead and, you know, go to the website and grab those downloads. You can get started today.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on here to share this with us. It's so good. I love being able to see the connection between a lot. And some people feel like they're stuck in being unconfident, but you're not stuck. It is fixable, it is solvable, and it's just really get about getting your mind unstuck. And so thank you for the work that you're doing to help people in this. It's such a game-changing area of life.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, you guys, thanks so much for listening. If this hit a spot, if this just kind of resonated with you, why don't you send this episode to a friend, share it with a few girlfriends, listen to it again. If you're like, okay, what were those steps and how do I practice this? And if you listen to this episode, throw it on Instagram and tag me and Mamika. Let us know that you were listening. And if you do the homework and take some time to journal and process through maybe some limiting, confidence beliefs in your heart and you process through that, let us know. We would love to hear how that worked out for you and what the Lord showed you so we can just celebrate with you and reinforce those truths that He reveals to your heart. So make sure you guys are subscribed anywhere you listen to your podcast. Come follow over at Java with Jen on Instagram and we will see y'all next week. Thanks for coming.